Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 13 October 2024, Tuesday class. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, the Heart Sutta, second edition of my book. We are at lesson 14, page 81, part 2. Okay, as usual, we will develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bun si si chia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si chia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si chia mo ni fo. Namo quan si yin pu sa. Namo quan si yin pu sa. Namo quan si yin pu sa. Namo a mi to fo. Namo a mi to fo. Namo Amitabha, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Yaosifo, Namo Yaosifo, Namo Yaosifo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Dizangwang Pusa, Namo Dizangwang Pusa. Namo Dizangwang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Uttang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipano Bhagavato Saukasango Sanghang Namami Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musawada viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami Sura miraya maja pamadatana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami Sanghang Pujayami. Evocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the dainties and Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarti Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabbo venuhiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakhineyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. We continue from where we stopped. Page 81. The previous Tuesday, we finished part 1, where we talk about life and existence following the five universal nature's law or order, the Pancha Niyamas. So that section is very good. We explain to you how the Buddha's teaching, the Dhamma, is based on. It's based on a complete understanding of life and existence following the five Pancha Niyama. Pancha means the five universal orders of nature. And within this five universal order of nature, they govern all of life and existence. So if you understand this five universal order of nature, then you understand life. Yeah. So this Pancha Niyama teaching is very powerful. Even up till now, the scientists haven't really comprehend what this universe is all about. Of course, we talk about life and existence. Within the entire existence means the entire universe. Yeah. But for the scientists, they are probing beyond our planet, then the solar system, then the galaxy, Then within the galaxy, they realize there are a lot of star system, a lot of what they call other type of very distant and very massive existence. They talk about the limitless and the countless star system that exists in a very vast space where you can probe using the whatever latest visible telescope or what they call James Webb's telescope to actually detect whatever that is visible. And we are talking about more than 15 billion light years away, and there are still star system planets. So what happened is the scientists are very good at the first two of the five panchaniyamas, means the scientific law within life and existence. So when they penetrate this scientific law to law of physics, through all the so-called understanding of science, which include the biological order, which include all the other field of study, chemistry, everything. So now the most popular one is via physics. They came out with all the understanding of the they call it the Newtonian mechanic, or some call it the classical mechanics of science, that describe the classical world of planets and star system. So that one initially, because of Newton's law of gravity, and later on all the scientific discovery of electromagnetism, electricity. Then later on, as science developed more and more understanding, they are able to go beyond the classical physics, the classical law within physics. Well, these are all big objects with big masses. But when it comes to all the quantum world, where there are these very small particles that emit radiation, or what they call energy field, that are moving very fast, they realize the behavior is different from classical mechanics. They got to come up with quantum mechanics to develop the understanding. Then after they have progressed and advanced quite far, including the biological order, or the genetic thing and other thing, they still cannot reconcile with what they observe through the very powerful latest James Webb telescope. Even earlier, the Hubble telescope gave them a lot of new finding, which they failed to reconcile. So if you only base it on the two scientific law of nature, which is, we call it the Uttuniyama, the Buddha described as the physical law of nature. So this physical law of nature are all the scientific law within the physical aspect, means physics, chemistry, and all the scientific law that governs the movement of planets and all those things, even electricity, electromagnetic forces and all those things, then gravity. That's why they can account for all the planets' orbit and all those things. But when the speed of an object changes as it tends towards the speed of light, they realize our time also changes. Time becomes a fourth dimension, where time is related to your speed. If your speed tends towards the speed of light, they realize time is almost arrested, means you don't age. Your spaceship also don't decay and deteriorate or like go through the changes or transformation over the same spaceship that doesn't travel. Yeah. That's why time become a fourth dimension. So they realize a lot of these are still within the field of science. Then when it comes to biological order, the Bija Niyama, they also discover a lot of things, our physical anatomy, all the plants, all the organic things like our reptiles, fishes, whatever that are organic in nature. Then the genetic engineering, genes and all those things, together with our brain, the nervous system and neuron, the response, all those things. But with this alone, they realize there are still a lot of things they cannot understand. The forces that are missing to account for the universe expanding characteristics. We are ours is an expanding universe that expands very fast, at a very fast rate. And all this can be observed and proven by the data that they receive. So what is happening is, if you look at the Panchaniyama, what is missing is the other three. The spiritual law, with regards to the law of karma, law of mind, and law of truth, Dhamma Niyama. The law of karma is Kama Niyama. Then law of mind is Chitta Niyama. Then law of truth is Dhamma Niyama. So under the Kama Niyama is, we call it the moral causation. It involves consciousness. It involves the thought process, the content of consciousness. They call it the moral causation is because every thought when they manifest, there is a mental intention inside. And that mental intention has a moral characteristic, wholesome, unwholesome, or whatever in between, like neutral and other things. And this thought, which manifests, they have an effect on the law of karma. They affect the karmic composition of living beings, not only human beings, living beings. And this universe, as the Buddha realized, there are 31 planes of existence, and there are countless of this type of beings around. So all this karmic movement, consciousness, can affect the world. That's why even each planet, like our Earth, we got about 7 to 8 billion maybe now. Even the human population itself. Then what about the non-human, the fishes, the animals? All this has consciousness. But the dominating one is now the human consciousness. Ours is more developed. And we have a lot of mixture of consciousness. Most of the living beings or human beings, they have very strong delusion. The condition, the greed, hatred and delusion, the three evils, that actually pollute the planetary consciousness. So the summation of all the individual becomes a planetary consciousness. Then when all the planets together, they actually form another bigger movement than the galactica consciousness. Then after that, the universal consciousness. And all these are the movement that affects the what they call evolution of our universe. So scientific law alone is not everything. So this part they haven't able to tap into it and develop the understanding. Then the next one, more powerful one, is the mind, Chitta Niyama. the universal order, order of mind. That's why consciousness itself is just a very general term for the mind. So when they talk about consciousness, the scientists, some of them, they are scientists, but they go into meditation or spiritual field. Then there are some philosophers and psychologists who actually also go into this field. So they manage to now slowly probe into this so-called consciousness. They feel that consciousness is something that they cannot understand, and that could be the missing link that enables spirituality and the physical world or the scientific law to form a complete understanding of the universe. So in the early days, the scientists, especially Einstein, he was very famous. He tried to come out with a unified theory where all the laws that can be understood, scientific law and whatever law, they build it into a mathematical formula to form the unified theory so that they can predict the movement and happening of the universe. Then sometimes they use the word, they can actually probe into the mind of God, means they believe this universe is created by God. So that unified theory can make you like with the all-knowing knowledge, like a God nature that can predict everything, means you understand truth. Truth is whatever that can explain the way things are, is the truth. So when you have a unified theory, you can do all this. But what happened is the order of the mind is very complicated. They have many levels. So the next one we are going to go through is the part two. We talk about love. Love also many levels. The commonly accepted one is worldly love or emotional love based on whatever emotion or condition. Then there is this conditioned love where love only can manifest when there is relationship, close relationship, means there is condition for them to love. Then the last one is universal love, where it transcends creeds, race, and division. It's just love, no opposite, nothing. Then before we go into that, even at the mind level, the consciousness, we have many understanding which only cultivator the way a spiritual practitioner can realize. So for the scientists to understand this is not easy. So some of the physicists or very famous scientists, they also try meditation. Then to them, they came out with whatever limited understanding that they have, which is also not bad. They have actually gone beyond the superficial conscious mind. Then they try to develop through the meditative, like auto-suggestion, like the silver mind control. They put music, vibration, and let you listen and calm you down and auto-suggest to you that you are in this alpha, beta, theta, or whatever state that actually brings your vibration down to very low level where you become very calm, very peaceful. So they thought this is transformation of consciousness from the gross, what they call superficial consciousness, which is full of thought process, very agitated. So as you calm down and become more and more tranquil, less and less of this thought and emotion, then your vibration become very different. Then they thought this is the higher consciousness. Then they also realize when you are asleep, you are in your subconscious or unconscious state. Then they also realize if you can meditate until you develop the wisdom and the understanding, you can dissolve the self, the atta, the self-actualization, then to them is you can realize a type of enlightenment where your consciousness is no more egoic. Then it can like merge with the totality of consciousness. So some call it God's consciousness or Christ consciousness or the Buddha nature or the oneness nature or whatever. So they still making guesswork because they don't know what this thing is. But the actual Chittaniyama is different. Chittaniyama is everything about the mind. There is a nature's law that governs mind and existence. So the Buddha taught the Paticca-samubbada is for you to understand the law of dependent origination, means how the mundane mind manifests and become what it is, how it stirs and become emotional, how from avijja you start create sankhara activity, thought process, emotion, everything. Then how upon contact with the brain, it triggers consciousness. So because of ignorance, one thing to know, one thing to understand, you think, you go to the brain, then you make contact, like the physics experiment, it triggers off consciousness. So avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnanam is a pure consciousness before the content goes in. But when we input the content to our brain, accumulated memory, views, opinion, and conditioning, and belief system, this one is not wisdom, this one is knowledge. This one has a lot of delusion and rubbish inside, including your phobia, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your insecurity, your strong egoic personality that condition your emotion, your greed, your fear, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, then the accumulated scars of memory, everything is inside that. And you act according to that. What happens is you will input the content of consciousness based on all this conditioning that you hold on to. That's why that content of consciousness that go in create karmic, moral, emotion, everything. So depend on whatever mental intention, the karmic is there. Then when you focus, concentrate, and create energy, you actually use the mind for energy field, for psychic ability, and you can do magic, like they say, psychic power. All these are still within the field of Chittaniyama, means order of the mind. The mind, if you know how to develop it, is capable of all these things. But all these are still within the field of thought. That's why they have all the jhanas that can actually bring about birth in the Brahma rhyme and birth in the formless rhyme beyond the form rhyme of the Brahma, the 16 Brahma rhyme and the ultimate four formless rhyme. So all these are possible. Then what they fail to understand is the supreme teaching of the Buddha. He said, when you transcend the thought process, when you can realize a state that is beyond thought, beyond time. Here it means psychological time. When your mundane mind is not creating thought process, sankhara activity or thinking, then there is the timeless, means this thought process, we call it psychological time. When you arise there, there is psychological time that create the thinking. But when the thinking stop, there is no psychological time. Your mind become different without the content, without the sankhara. It is tranquil, still, quiet. And it returns to its nature, which was the original pure awareness nature that is the first to come out from our source, the Buddha nature or the oneness nature. That is the creation process. And from there, that pure awareness nature stir to the karmic process to create mundane thinking and consciousness. And that's how it manifests. Then the five aggregates of form and mind, first aspect, second aspect that I have taught you, they are very important. And that's how they manifest. Then from there, they create the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. That's how the star system, everything they develop. Yeah. And through science, they realize all these planets and the star system that they have created, their so-called mass is so heavy and big that during a supernova, when they, like the last burst of energy, and they collapse into a very small size matter, means from a big burning sun, they can release the burst of power which they call supernova, and these are very violent type of explosion. Then during that time, all the energy, they like shrink into a very small matter. The circumferences from the supersized star system, or like our sun, they can shrink into a very small thing. So what happens is, they become very dense. When it becomes so dense, until the escape velocity exceed the speed of light. The escape velocity for speed of light is very high, 186,000 miles per second. No? Also cannot escape, no? Because of the mass, the amount of mass that is being developed. So when it is so dense, even light also cannot escape, no? Which means everything near it will be drawn into it. They call it the black hole. Yeah. And there are evidence of black hole already. That is, if this black hole can also have a lot of movement inside there, until finally it is supposed to manifest into something else, which the scientists also cannot understand. Then they realize for all these things to happen, there are a lot of unaccounted dark energy and dark matter that is missing. Otherwise, they cannot explain the way our universe is. So what happened is, they have not taken into consideration the individual consciousness of living beings. That's where the missing one is. So karma niyama is very complicated, very complex. Citta niyama also very complicated, very complex. And these are the area of energy that is missing. Then, just like I told you, when you are without thought, when the content of consciousness is the pure consciousness, then as a cultivator, like what we have gone through, we develop the pure awareness nature, we meditate to the pure awareness based meditation to realize our nature, then to actually develop the movement and transformation until we can understand that nature. We can realize what that nature is through that internal movement that can, even at the third stage of Bohemian development, the cultivator can illuminate that nature. Yeah. Bohemian that illuminate that nature means that nature become very clear to that cultivator of the way. But it's not a being, it's the awareness that is aware of that nature. But that nature is pure awareness. And when it can develop all the movement and transformation, it understand, then that one is capable of a lot of things. The pure wish, the power of that pure awareness to cause things to arise and move, and to develop a lot of what they call understanding, which we call wisdom. Then when the wisdom is connected to the form and mind, which is still one of the 31 planar existent beings, especially we all human beings, we are capable of a lot of things. But that aspect, scientists cannot comprehend. They cannot touch it. They cannot go into it. So it's impossible for them to penetrate that. So only cultivator of the way can realize that. That's why the Panchaniyama is very powerful. Kamaniyama, Chittaniyama. Then later on, there is the Dhammaniyama, the order of truth. When you understand truth, you understand all of the reality within life and existence. That's why we will penetrate the universal characteristic. We will penetrate the delusion. Then we will dissolve the sakyadity, everything. And then the mind that developed the wisdom and transform become different. And the wisdom that is connected make the so-called five aggregate of form and mind or living being or human being different again. And that one can have a major influence on the totality of movement of not only the planet, the universe, everything. And sometimes they call it the higher being with the higher consciousness and all those things. So all this is what we can develop out as understanding. And this proves that the Buddha's teaching, our Buddhist teaching, the Buddha Dharma, is very extensive. It covers everything that you need to know. That's why I call it understanding the secret of life. Everything within life, whether mundane and supramundane and beyond, can be understood through this teaching. So this is the part I want to add to the earlier sharing. And hopefully it can help evolve more things. Okay, now we go to page 81, part 2. Conditioned love and metta. So there is a big difference between emotional love, or what we call worldly, ordinary worldly love, conditioned love, and metta. Metta is universal love, like I explained. Universal love means there is only love, no opposite. Love that can become hatred is not love. That's why understanding all this is important. And the mind is capable of manifesting all the different levels. So the emotional love are the one that give rise to karmic. Conditional love also can give you that willpower, the ability to develop a strong metta force and enable you to do a lot of things. But then it is also limited in the sense that it's based on the condition behind you act. You can manifest that type of selfless action. So now I will go in and explain it. Well, here is a summary, not much explanation. So I have to elaborate and explain it. Yeah, in the actual sharing, I actually express it in quite detail. So now I try to explain to you the teaching. So here, although I say an example of worldly love or emotional love is the usual love-hate relationship of lay people. Yeah? Lay people, you know, one moment they will love each other when things go their way. And the next moment, when things don't go their way, it can turn into hatred, envy, jealousy, etc. So this type of love is called emotional love, worldly love, based on emotion. You only express that love when you have the lust. When you are, they call what? Initially it's infatuation. When you are, you think you are in love with that person, but actually you are infatuated, you are attracted by something that lure you. Maybe the beautiful or handsome face, or the money, or the whatever, or wealth that comes with it, all those things. So the worldly love is not stable. They are based on your emotion, your lust, your craving, your selfishness, your desire, your possessiveness, all of this. Even your phobia, your fear, define this type of worldly love. And many people are trapped in this. And this one has a lot of karmic consequences. For people who don't have the Dhamma understanding, they get themselves entangled into this type of relationship, type of emotion. And some are to deceive people and take advantage of people when they are in the position of dominance to take control of things. But then karma is such, you reap what you sow, do good begets good, do evil begets evil. Then when the karmic consciousness reverses itself, you become the victim. And you will experience what you did to people. That's why you reap what you sow. Whatever you did to people, you deceive, you cheat, you do all those funny things. You become the victim. And you have to confront them. Payback time, they call karmic friction. That's why you reap what you sow means you plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You are kind to people, good to people, generous. All this will come back to you. People will be kind to you, good to you, and wealth will come back to you, generosity. And the world is just the way it is, following this pancha niyamas. So worldly love, emotional love, most people are entangled into it, entrapped into it. Then we move on to the second type of love, which is conditioned love. Now, this conditioned love is more meaningful, more powerful. So sometimes because of conditioned love, like relationship, your loved ones that you really love and cherish and really treasure that relationship, everything. And because of that, you can sacrifice. You can go all out to do a lot of things for them. Especially between spouse, siblings, if you have close relationship. Then even between children and parents. So, this conditioned love is their love developed because of the relationship that conditioned them to have the strong, what they call, resolve or strong intent to actually protect their loved ones or to care for them, and also they go all out to help them, to protect them, and do whatever they can. So this type of conditioned love can actually develop the willpower to act, to actually become different. So when you have this conditioned love motivating you, then you can manifest a lot of things that is beyond the normal human being's ability. But conditioned love is still not the universal love, which is pure love. Love because you have love, your nature has love. And when there is love, you will understand the causes and condition behind. When there is condition behind to express it or to develop it, then you will manifest it. Then love also has many levels. That's why universal love means, I read on, then you will know. Then there is the other relationship between parent and children, brother and sister or siblings, daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, good friends, etc., expressed as conditioned love that only exists because of the relationship bond. Whereas universal love or metta is love without opposite, means love is just pure love. And that metta can be developed under normal circumstances and also under special circumstances. And finally, the third phase of metta is from the nature. It arises when the nature has love. It can manifest from there. So the first type of ordinary love, or what people normally do under metta, is they try to recite, huh? May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. And may it be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. Then you extend to others. May my parents, my teacher, my whatever, be well and happy. So sometimes they are not careful. They end up like parroting. So you just parrot it out. Means you don't really have the understanding. You don't have the feeling, the emotion, or what they call the true manifestation of that love. When you want to wish people well-being and happiness, you must feel it. Then you must develop that ability to express that love, even to yourself. When you say, may I, this body am I, am I, you feel your body am I, be well and happy. You must feel the well-being and joy and happiness inside. And then that metta become more genuine, more authentic, more strong. Then after that, when this metta develop until it's stable already, strong already, then you can radiate it out to others. May your parents, your loved one, your teacher, or whoever. Then later to your neighbor. And finally, if you can radiate to your enemy or people whom you don't like, then later to all beings. That is to cover the extent of love that go beyond race and creed. That can be expressed as a universal love. So that one will be very beautiful. That's why they say that universal love goes beyond race and creed. Means you don't discriminate anymore. It's universal. It's just love without any opposite. Then there is another third way, which is the most beautiful way. So first is to recite. Some people use parroting. Then you feel the love and you radiate it. Then the third one is the metta that manifests from your nature. When you really have the understanding already, I remember in the early day when I was doing this metta, then the nature has this real love for living beings and everything. That metaphors become very strong. Then what happened is, I no need to will it or radiate it out. Or no. That metta come direct from the heart. Or no, it come out. And there's a very soothing energy coming out from the heart. Or no. And that type of energy, I remember after 1989, the animal can feel them, the non-human can feel them, and the type of metta is very different. Then the way it manifests is so beautiful. And I still recall at that time when I manifest it, the more I speak about it, that thing just flow from the heart out. And people listening, they can also feel. Not only that, the animals, the non-human, they can sense it. But that metaphor is a very soothing energy that come from your nature, flow out. So that one is not easy to do, and you can do. My nature will rejoice and sadhu you. Then I will read the last paragraph. The mind that has metta is always peaceful and happy. True or not? Because there is only love. Understand or not? Because it's without any negativity. So when you radiate love, you feel that love. Understand or not? Then when you can manifest the embodiment of love, that whole love is within your nature. And the embodiment, actually shine forth, and very naturally it flow out. So this part is very beautiful. It is born of wisdom that enable one to accept the reality of the moment and always be at peace with the way things are. And one's heart is always full of metta, where it doesn't discriminate anymore. Thing is just the way it is. Then whoever who is deluded, heedless or what, you will know. Just like the famous saying that they quote in the Bible, when Jesus was crucified, they forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Then for us Buddhists, we really love to all. So this part covers the aspect of love, the development of it, the manifestation of it, and the understanding of it. So under the teaching, the Citta Niyama, you can develop your mind state into very special refined state. That's why it's not just about the superficial consciousness, the subconscious, unconscious, and the higher consciousness type of, or they sometimes call it the super consciousness. It's not really in that manner. Maybe the mind become more calm, more peaceful, more tranquil, and it bring your mind state to a more tranquil state. But the transformation of consciousness is different. When your mundane mind collapse, it will transform your consciousness to become the supramundane consciousness, which is different, very different from the normal mundane consciousness, which is full of very gross sankhara activity inside there. And the mundane consciousness is very gross. Very gross, a lot of images and a lot of sankhara activity inside there. Then later on when your cultivation develops, your vibration becomes so different, the wisdom, power, the pure energy transform your vibration until it becomes so fine, until the mundane mind cannot withstand that vibration. Then it starts to develop the process of collapse. Means the mundane mind will start to like become unstable, then finally it will collapse. And when the whole mundane mind collapses, like a layer of consciousness drop off from your forehead, then you realize your mind become very like nothing inside that. Like you have no mind, you know, initially. But actually you have a super mundane mind, which is no longer the mundane mind, the worldly. And the super mundane mind comes from that nature which is pure awareness. But when the wisdom is there, it can manifest into a mind, which we call the super mundane mind. And you can learn how to use it to live life and become normal again. But that one is a phase that cultivator have to go through. Okay, we go back to the sharing, the notes. Okay, so I finished that part. Now, 2.2, definition of term. This one, the term samadhi is a very important definition. What is actually samadhi? So, samadhi is a mind that is collected, unwavering, and unmoving. Means it's a free mind. Yet it is collected, unwavering, and unmoving. So this is the true samadhi. Where you can have a free mind that is collected, unwavering, and unmoving, born of wisdom and understanding, then this mind becomes your meditative mind. This mind is capable of insight into phenomena in developing wisdom via the direct seeing. Then this mind can also insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. And this mind can also see things as they are. To actually develop the wisdom to root out your sakkayadity, your delusion, your attachment, your craving, your clinging and your grasping. That's why sati leading to samadhi is very important. Sati is mindfulness, awareness. When the mind is fully aware without thought, that's why mind full of awareness or mindfulness or sati. Sati is awareness before the knowing, before the thought process come in. So this understanding is very important. Then when sati stabilize through wisdom and understanding, it will develop into samadhi. It will become very quiet, very still, collected and unwavering. And you can be in that state throughout the day if you have trained your mind correctly and develop the appropriate wisdom and understanding. Then the next part is, Xianhua mentioned, with total understanding of the ever-shining. So this one refers to the Buddha nature within us. Yeah. Or sometimes they call it the host and the master, because that nature is within our Buddha nature, our pure awareness nature. That thing is fully in charge. Well, that one is not a condition arising mundane mind or mundane thought process. Then mind at peace means that mind is heedful, silent, and not moving, unmoving. Means not stirred. I use the word unstirred, means unmoving. Silent, tranquil, and unmoving. Then there is this saying by Master Poyen Zhang Lao, which is the first line of disciple of Xu Yun Lao He Sang. I think he is same contemporary disciple, the first line with Xianhua De Ao. Yeah. That group of disciple and the famous Xu Yun, the monk that lived until 120 years old. He is a very famous monk, and he is a patriarch. Then he actually lived very long, and he has a lot of good disciples, and Poyen Zhang Lao is one of them. And Poyen Zhang Lao is also Wu Pingqing Sir's abbot, and the Wu Pingqing Sir that invited me to deliver the Han Sutta was that time in charge by Miss Li, Li Xiuge. So she is the one that invited me over in the early years. Then I went there and teach the Han Sutta. That's how all this become possible. And we should actually thank Miss Li for giving us all this condition. In fact, I was also told by Sui An later on that our Cameron Highland retreat, she was the one that helped us apply to the Tang Jia and all things. He gave us a contact and all things. Then we contacted them and we wrote to them. She was the one that actually created a lot of causes and conditions for us to be what we are now. So we hope this can be causes and condition for her to recover to whatever mind state that she need to, so that she can become normal again and beautiful again. Anyway, here I want to share the three saying of Poyen Zhang Lao. At that time when I went over there to teach, Miss Li showed me a piece of paper. He said, I cannot understand what my master mean. He wrote these three stanza, he said, in Mandarin, Xing Jing. I said, Xing Jing, Xing is mind, Jing is quiet, stillness, silent. So Xing Jing means the still or silent mind, means the quiet mind, the mind that is without thought, without movement. So Xing Jing. Then the next one is more beautiful. He said, 无念是真心. A lot of people don't understand. What is the meaning? 无念 is without thought. That is your true mind. So without thought, no thought, that is your true mind. 无念是真心. Then the third one is even more beautiful. 动念即无明. Means the moment you start to stir your mind, means there is ignorance. The stirring of the mind or creating of the thought process is delusion or avijja. Based on the paticca samuppada, the law of dependent originating. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Because of avijja, you create sankhara activity or thought process. That's why, 动念即无明. So when you understand this, you will know how to meditate. Meditation becomes very easy. The purpose of meditation is to train your mind to be quiet, to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness, to be still. So that it can be aware, so that it can see things as they are. It can insight into phenomena. It can insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. Anicca, dukkha, anatta. And it can develop the wisdom via seeing things as they are, without words. So all these are very beautiful. And what we need to understand is, this mind that is tranquil and still is your true mind, your silent mind, your inner awareness nature. And some people call it I call it the pure awareness nature. And that one is your meditative mind, actually. You must understand. Without that mind, you cannot meditate. You cannot be heedful. So that one, not only can see things as they are, it can insight into phenomena and awaken. Then it can silently observe and develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. So all this is understanding mind. So when you understand that the one that has movement and creation is the mundane mind, the one that doesn't move still, that is primordial before the arising of thought, that is your true mind. Stay with that one. Develop the stability of that pure awareness within. Stay with it. Then there is the next sentence. When Sherma said that is understanding, it means wisdom. It means you have realized the wisdom. That outflow means defilement, evil roots, delusion. So outflow here means you got all the so-called asava, anusaya, and kilesa, the three Pali words that actually defines defilements. Then 2.3, the eight worldly condition or the eight winds or the four pairs of duality that the Buddha taught actually under the Theravada tradition's teaching. He said, in our existential world, this eight worldly condition or the four pairs of opposite or dualities, they are there to actually condition living being into suffering if you don't have the Dhamma understanding. So living being, he say, they will experience gain and loss. So when they experience gain and loss, they suffer. Because wherever there is gain, there is loss. Because when things go your way, maybe you gain it. When things don't go your way, you lose it. So separation is a type of loss, and separation can happen anytime. When causes and condition no more, separation can happen. Sometimes through death, through nature's disaster, through accident, through all the kidnap activity, and through traumatic disease, and also through traumatic disease like heart attack, stroke, and sometimes like riots or mob, or they call war during war, then it can happen. So separation can also be in the form of relationship breakdown or failure. So gain and loss is part of the first noble truth reality. When you cannot get what you want, you suffer. When things don't go your way, you suffer. Then you have to understand these are the worldly condition. Wherever there is gain, there will be loss. Then my teacher like to say this, before you have not. So what you have lost is only losing back what you have gained. So this one is something that you should reflect, contemplate, so that you don't become so bitter when things happen. But most people get into big trouble and they cannot reconcile with all this. They become greedy. So what happens is they go and borrow money. Then through that delusion and greed, they expect to, like nowadays a lot of scam. You believe what the scammer tell you, then you, out of greed, you go and borrow money, leverage, and try to even, there are some report that they go to the extent of withdrawing all their EPF money, their FD, and borrow from their loved ones, parents, or whoever they can borrow. Then they put into that so-called investment, which is a scam. Then they lost everything. So in that case, of course, you can tell me that, hey, but this one is not like what you say. Oh. Before you have not. No. I borrow one, no. Yeah, nah. Although I have not, but I borrow, no. Now I lost all this, no. So what I lost is not what I have gained, no. What I have borrowed, no. And then it doesn't fall under this category, no. So what you have borrowed and you lost means you are taking risks with your borrowed money, no. That is your own karmic conditioning and delusion. Nobody can help you. Then you have to resolve your own problem. Yes, you created that problem. It has a lot of things to do with your past coming. Like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So last time, if your livelihood is not clean, you trick people into borrowing money from maybe loan shark or whatever. Now you become the victim, you will get into trouble. You also go and borrow. Then you will lose this money to scammer. Well, last time you might have contributed to all this scam or whatever suffering that people go through. So all this is for you to learn that the law of karma cannot be violated. You have to be very clear about what life is. So gain and loss is a reality. When you don't understand, whatever you gain, you can lose it. Then sometimes, whatever you borrow, you will also lose it if you are not careful. Then the other thing to understand is, we came with nothing. When means when we are born into this world, we came with nothing. Then when we die, we go with nothing. Then why do we grieve over emptiness in between? So this gain and loss is a worldly condition without the greed, without the delusion. you will not get yourself entangled in all this. Without the karmic, you also won't get yourself entangled into all this. So gain and loss is part and parcel of worldly condition that can manifest during the causes and conditions. So understand that. Then number two is happiness and sorrow. If you cling to happiness, sorrow will be the result. Because it's a conditioned world. Because happiness and sorrow, they are dependent originating condition arising. When causes and condition changes or transform, your emotion will follow, which means you don't have wisdom, you don't have understanding. You always oscillate between this worldly condition of gain and loss, happiness and sorrow. So your life is always in the state of entanglement. You are trying to like experience all these worldly conditions by clinging onto them, grasping onto them, by not really developing the wisdom to understand them and transform your understanding to transcend all these worldly conditions. That's why there is a saying, when these eight worldly conditions cannot move you, Pa Feng Chui Pu Tong, means you have wisdom. It will not affect you anymore. Your gain and loss is worldly condition. You must understand that. When there is condition for you to have something, make use of it. When there is no condition, when condition ceases to be, it will separate from you. You will lose it. Accept that reality. Then you will be at peace. Then wherever there is happiness, there will be sorrow. When things don't go your way, you cannot accept the reality of what happened. You develop sadness, sorrow, lamentation, unhappiness, sometimes envy, jealousy. What for? Your life. You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely your choice. So why can't you choose to be happy? Choose to be happy via contentment. Content with whatever life that comes with your past coming. When you are contented, you are the wealthiest. Contentment is the highest wealth. That's why contentment can only give you joy, give you happiness and understanding. You only develop sorrow when you cannot get what you want. When things don't go your way, you attach, you cling, and you become miserable, frustrated. That is not life. To me, that is delusion. Why lament over all these things? Even separation of loved ones. Like the Buddha said, as a bodhisattva, his own children pass away. Then when people ask him, how come you don't cry, you don't grieve? He said, whatever is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. Then whatever that is born has already come to pass. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. And that is wisdom. Why you want to lament over all these things? Be sorrowful over all these things. That's why without wisdom, you will attach, you will cling, you will grasp. You will torment yourself and make yourself miserable. Over what? The thought. It's only a thought. How come it has power over you? Well, through the thought, you grasp, you cling, and you hold on to all this as if they are very real. It's only a thought. Come and go. Manifest and pass away. Arising and passing away. How come it has such power over you? And what is a thought? Consciousness is content, arise and pass away. No reality. If you don't think that thought, you are peaceful. Union, sitting. Without thought, that is your true mind. So stay with your true mind. Why you want to think? Unless you need to live life, Don't have to think. Okay, number three. Praise and blame. This is also a worldly condition. When you are successful, famous, people will praise you. But when you make a mistake, they will blame you. So these are reality. So the world is the world to me. People are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Violent people do violent things. Accept them for what they are, and you will be at peace. And praise and blame will have no power over you. But this is a conditioned world, with worldly condition. Then the last one is, the fourth pair is fame and ill fame. When you become famous, you receive a lot of fame. When you are no longer famous, you will lose your status as to be a famous person. Then you will go into the opposite of having ill fame. So when people no longer recognize what you used to be, then you suffer the other side. So you can witness all this in our society, in our daily life. In fact, every country you had this example, and you can see them. Then under note, this note is very important. Do not cling to the eight worldly conditions. See the importance of cultivating the equanimity enlightenment factor, or what we call upeka, that is needed to liberate the mind. So upeka is equanimity born of wisdom, so that you understand these are worldly conditions that exist within the conditioned world. And when you have the wisdom, you will have no power over you, because these are worldly conditions. No reality. The way things are, the way living beings are. So when you can accept them for what they are, when you can accept the world as the world, then there is no problem. Then every situation is also beautiful, meaningful, wonderful. That's why life becomes different. You no longer deludedly cling, grasp, and get yourself entangled with all these worldly conditions. Okay, then we move on. Part 3, okay. We just finished this a bit more. So, 3.1, part 3. Purpose of meditation. This one is very important. The purpose of meditation is to develop the deeper state of meditation, which are needed to allow the stillness and cessation to develop and stabilize via wisdom. So this one must be a free mind, able to go into the more stable tranquility or silence. So we call it the deeper state of meditation. And these are needed to allow our stillness with the mind that is unwavering, tranquil and still, until that cessation stabilizes. So to allow the stillness and cessation to develop and stabilize via wisdom, you must do that. It must be a free mind via wisdom, can be completely still and without thought, and it becomes so still, and that is samadhi, leading to wisdom. So the two main purpose of meditation is, one, to stabilize and silence that tranquil, heedful mind via a combination of a combination of relaxation, relax body and mind, then clear awareness means maintain mindfulness or awareness. Then wisdom and understanding. If you can relax and maintain clear awareness, then you can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then you can also see clearly how you function as a human being, how your mind actually reacts and stir via the paticca samuppada. Then you start to develop that clear understanding of who are you, what are you, that this five aggregate of form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can deludedly grasp onto, hold onto and say, this is me, this is I. There is no such thing. Then the second main purpose is to use this still and tranquil mind to investigate clearly into all the Dhamma and phenomena, both internally and externally within life, to realize the wisdom and the enlightenment needed to free the mind. So this one is very important. Then I also share a lot of other things. After 1989, after I retired, then I just make a summary here. Vati also shared with us his own cultivation and how he came out into the private sector to test himself in 1989. For detail, please listen to the recording dated 25th May 212, which is about 12 plus years ago. So maybe I elaborate a bit. After 1989, I developed the understanding and my nature connect. Then I realized what this teaching is. And my nature also awakened. And because of that, that time I was still working. But I was working with a statutory body, a university in fact, where I have developed a lot of understanding because that place is very conducive. And like I say, 86 to 89, that almost 2 or 3 years, the teacher come, the guide come, the teaching come, everything come, then I transform. Then that transformation was so drastic that I became so different. But that 3 years after I received the message from Kuan Yin via the Triple Gem, I cultivated non-stop throughout the day. I awake, mindful, with that stability. Then after that transformation happened, I knew it's about time for me to come out to the world to test my training, my realization, my understanding. So condition manifests, then I was offered a private sector job, which I actually never intend to take up. But at that time, I feel that it is also good because when I came out as a graduate, as a civil engineer, I wanted to go through my whole career path. I want to understand where I have passion for my civil engineering profession. And with a degree in that field, I actually went through. Then I started as a contractor. Then I joined the government service. Then I went to a few government department, private sector. Then somehow I haven't covered the consultant part. Then after the consultant, I supposed to cover the corporate sector, the listed company and all things, the experience, the e-source and all those things. So what happened was, I want to have a complete training of what my profession can give me so that I can realize the pinnacle of my career life. I can experience them. So that time I was offered by my classmate a very unique position. At that time was recession, to join him with his consultant. And also because of causes and conditions, I supposed to help him and repay his kindness when I was in the uni. I borrowed the bike from him. Then I had an accident, but he didn't blame me. And he was actually quite kind. Then because of that, I made a pure wish to help him. Then the condition arise. So I actually resigned from a very comfortable, super skill garment job and joined him to test myself. That was the most beautiful. The rest, you can listen to it. How I actually went through the whole thing. Until later on, I also joined the corporate sector and I reached the pinnacle of my career. And then I retired in the year 2001, officially from my engineering degree. So since then, I think 23 years already, the retirement phase. Then 2001, then Yun Chan came to me to invite me come out 2004, 3 years after I officially retired. And that was how I actually developed the whole understanding. So if you want to understand more, maybe hopefully the recording is still there. You can go and listen to it. I describe in quite detail. So we will have our 45 minutes of awareness based meditation. So remember to relax body and mind. Maintain awareness. Then silence everything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do. Yeah, that trying is always by the thought process. So you need to relax, maintain awareness until that free mind become completely quiet and still without any thought activity or movement. Then whatever arise, away, finish, let it be. Then let the mundane thinking settle down. And become very quiet, very still. If you are used to your object of meditation, you can also make use of it to maybe anchor the mind, then develop the mindfulness until it becomes very quiet, very still. Then you will reach back the same state of a free mind that is tranquil and still. Where your awareness, whatever you do, whether it's anapanasati or rising, falling, or what, it will become very subtle and very still. Like no more breathing, no more rising and falling. Like the whole mind has entered sati. So you will realize the same end result. So if that is the case, why not you give it a try using the four support to actually help you develop it faster. The other way is start with the mind sweeping method to make you peaceful and calm, so that you are sensitive, so that your mind can be aware and you can decide where to locate your mind. You want it to be at the forehead, it's at the forehead. Then you want it to feel any tension, any stress, or any what they call tightness, tension, stress that you can feel, you just soothingly feel and relax into it. Then when you can do that, you will not think. Then your mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful. Then when you are skillful, you stay at the heart. Don't do anything. Then let the awareness nature pick up whatever that arises from there. So that is also what we call the fourth support, trust. Trust your nature to develop the internal movement or activity. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay? Then now we will continue your second session, which is the meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. Question regarding the Dhamma, the meditation, or how to apply what you have learned to help you develop the understanding of the Dhamma that is needed for you to live life, to overcome all your life problems or situation that warrants you to act with wisdom correctly, following the Dhamma way. Okay, we can also discuss what we went through today. It's up to you.
Hi, Brother Theo.
Brother Theo,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Brother Theo, I just joined your meeting, so maybe I will listen to the recording on your
Dhamma
sharing later. Lately, I have not been able to join in time, but the day when I listened back to the Thursday one, not this Thursday, I think the previous Thursday.
Ah, yes, very good.
Very good that time when I listened to it. I find it very useful, and there was more depth to it.
Yeah, very much more depth. Now I explain in more detail, with more clarity, Become more Sayamita are ready to understand all this. Good.
So I find it very useful.
Yeah.
And sometimes even if I couldn't really practice it, follow exactly the Noble Eightfold Path, I won't get so upset because there is another moment that I can try again and again.
Correct.
Until I'm successful.
But the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path is not easy, but it can be done. And you can develop it. So what is important is, as you develop the understanding, there's a lot of joy. First is the right view, the right understanding. That one is very powerful, very important. Once you develop that one until very stable, then the rest are much more easier. From the right view, it will enable you to develop the understanding to be at peace with all things. Then after that, cultivating the right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and the four right effort, the samadhi, the sati, they are easy, much more easier. So all this is very beautiful.
I just realized, sometimes when I talk to other people and I listen to them talk about their life, I realize if they were to at least know the teaching, then it will be easier.
But easier for them to handle it.
Yes.
Very true. That's why you see the our society or world, there are a lot of people suffer because they don't have this understanding of the Dhamma. And even Sui and Bendy, they've been listening to Chan Fong, then all their friends, all their suffering actually come from their own lack of understanding of what is going on. Then when you try to analyze with the thought process, then discuss it with people who don't have the Dhamma also, then they will give you suggestion, but they still get entangled. But of course, some of them, when they speak it out or share it, they feel better. Then of course, Chan Fong is quite good. He gave very good example and sometimes good advice, so that people see the stupidity in their own attachment and clinging and grasping and holding on to all these things. But the reality is, this is just the way things are. If you cannot accept all this reality, then you end up arguing among yourself. Well, you lack the Dhamma to make you understand all this. Well, the world is the world, and people are just the way they are, and everyone is different. So our relationship with people, with society, with the environment, with the world, depend on your understanding. If you lack understanding, the situation can be very, very difficult, and it can condition a lot of misunderstanding, suffering, and lead to a lot of what they call misery and afflictions. All this is what reality is, and society is the way it is. That's why a lot of people actually very pitiful. After you have the understanding of the Dhamma, you start to see all this, which means the understanding has made you different. You will not be like before, revert back to the heedless way of living life, using your thought to complain, to react, or to develop all the negativity. And you cannot like come to terms with the reality. A lot of things that happen is like not right. Why the world is like that? Why are people like that? Why can't they understand what is going on? Because at that time, not only them, before we know the Dhamma, we also went through life. We also get ourselves entangled before. But of course, for me, I have my past. So my younger days, I was like very easy, smooth sailing. And in fact, when I was born, until I was 5 years old, I got no thought. I hardly got any thought. Until I was brought down to Alostar, where the place I joined with that the people in that village, that society, which is notorious, that area. And then I start to accumulate all those mundane activity, and I realize my mind become like any ordinary mind that is being influenced and defiled. Not to say defiled in the sense that I learn all the you know lah, all the childhood the bad word, the dirty word, and all those things, and the way they do things, because that is society at that time. Then my rather innocent mind as a kid become influenced, conditioned. Then I was sent to school the next year, and it was an English school where I don't know the language, and I cannot understand anything. Besides standard one, I was last in the class. Standard two, I was second last. Until standard three, I started to have a grasp of the language. Then I did very well, and I actually started to become a lot better in study. So all this is what I saw. Then I don't have much problem since birth, because my parents were okay. They look after us well. Then we were given the opportunity to attend good school. So that's how I grew up. Then as I grew up, I go through life, I observe, I saw, and relatively blessed in between. I don't have so much issue with life, not like other kids or people. So for your case, you also will go through those phases and start to see the big difference. But after 1989, after I realized I became so different, then that time, no more problem, no more issue. Everything just the way it is, get resolved, and there is no more problem with the world, with society, with people. Then life become like meaningful, beautiful, it take a turn. So for you also, you will start to experience all those things. Very good. You continue, sorry.
It's true. Now, you know, sometimes when I get upset, then the next moment I'll be thinking like, hey, why do I need to be like that? And then
sadhu.
Another moment, if I see that person again, I don't hold it in my heart. The last time
you now you can know it. It's no more inside there. There is no activity or movement that is like disturbing you like last time. No more. It's like that understanding make you so different, no? And you can laugh about it, smile over it, then just have that understanding will give you joy, and you become very different. There is the beauty of the Dhamma.
But Pratya, I want to share something which I find quite amazing. Like I think about 10 days or 2 weeks ago, I was suddenly, I think it was food poisoning. And about 1 a.m., I got up and I vomited, you know, the whole dinner. After I vomited, I could feel that there's still something at the chest area. That means not completely out yet.
Correct, correct.
But it couldn't come out, you know. So I went back to sleep. Then the following morning, diarrhea.
Oh, very good.
Diarrhea. Then one time only lah. So then I thought I better take MC. So I went to see the doctor lah. Give me diarrhea pills. Funny because that after that diarrhea in the morning, it stopped, you know. So I didn't take the diarrhea pills.
Because
I thought diarrhea, what for I take, right? But because I didn't take that day itself at night, keep on going to the toilet non-stop, you know.
Wow,
really pasatu about you. Very bad. I don't remember even having such a bad diarrhea and vomiting before. But it wasn't like very, very bad. I didn't like take it very, very badly. But
Correct.
You can endure that. So then at one point I thought, okay lah, 2 days already, I better ask for help. like that. So I actually kneeled down because my house don't have altar but got pictures of Gautama Buddha.
Yeah, no problem. Can be any direction also can one. Don't worry.
I kneel down and I requested for help, you know.
Oh, sadhu.
So after that, I went to sleep. I lie down and relaxed. You know what? Stomach right in the middle of the trunk, I could feel it moving, you know. Very obvious that. I mean, if you have vomiting and diarrhea, sometimes you will also have, you can feel it, but this one is like more obvious and more movement.
Clarity is there. Where your sensitivity, born of your ability to be aware, you will feel the movement on her. You will know what is going on her.
So great movement starting from just below like the breast that is right in the middle. Then after a while you move down a bit to the left. Then after a while you move down all the way. And then I know that I have to go to the toilet already. I finish it. Then I got confidence inside. I know that this is it, no more already.
Already.
Confident, you know.
Yeah.
I still don't know how come for confident.
You
and really
know one.
After that, okay already. And brother, just now I said that I went and asked for help that time. I asked for help, requested for help, at the chat area, there is conviction and calm and confident, you know, that I got that conviction.
To let you understand that nature is like that. When you have the Dhamma, when you have the Fu power, the merits and the, what they call paramiya, when you sincerely request for help, the great beings and the triple gem that has the condition, they will manifest on. And when they manifest, things will happen on, and it become very beautiful. That's why what you went through is also what a lot of cultivators will also go through. Then of course, Dr. J during the retreat also same, but that one is, he also asked for help from Virochana Buddha. Then the thing just happened, then surprisingly, the whole thing defied medical science, is it? Yours one went down, you saw the movement to your left, then it went down. Then you know cultivate. His one, the whole thing can come out from the stomach, esophagus there, stuck there, out to the throat and vomit out. Then he saw in that thing, the plastic sheet, no, that caused all the thing. And it was almost a year, you know, he suffered. And it caused him, that's why karmic is like that. But after that, he recovered. After that, he become very different. Then you see him, he can come and talk to me. Then he thank me. Then after that, you see him dress so nicely already. Initially, the first few days before he recovered, he was so haggard, suffer, so miserable. But he has faith, luckily. Then, like your case, when you have the Dhamma, the understanding, you request for help, very useful, and it really come. Shen Hua also, when he crossed the sea route to US, he was attacked. Then he asked for help, particularly from Kuan Yin, Kuan Yin's nature. Then it manifest, and he recovered, and he overcome his problem. But the non-human got vengeance, want to attack him. So in time of a very severe situation where you got like no more answer to it, you can sincerely request for help. Of course, most people would ask for forgiveness first, but for your case, it's because you understand that this one has to do with something that is beyond what you can do now. Then the nature will condition you to ask for forgiveness. That's why asking for help and forgiveness are very important aspect of cultivation. That's why in the Bodhisattva vow early on I teach you, and I add in a miscellaneous vow to cultivate affinity with the Triple Gem, with all the great beings, and to seek their blessing, protection and guidance. So blessing, protection and guidance, of course, it also like cover their ability to help you. So all this can actually give rise to causes and conditions that can enable the cultivator of the way to confront whatever they have to confront. Then they will recover and miraculously it will manifest. Sometimes you can just recite their four how, Om Mani Padme Hum or whatever, it can also manifest. Or you can just like what you did, you any direction near the altar, you just request for assistance from the great beings or the triple gem. All these are based on understanding your affinity, then you invoke power of merit and understanding for causes and conditions for this to manifest, then it can trigger off. That's why these are good living example of how cultivator of the way experience all these things. So it's very good. Manya, sorry. Asadu, for the good sharing. You continue.
I find it amazing because as soon as it was out, the energy came back. I could feel it, the energy come back to the body.
Yeah, recovered already.
And that feeling of sickness,
no gone. More. Gone. So because your life force, everything will come back on. And for my case, I was very lucky because ever since after 1989, even I take wrong thing, like supposed to be food poisoning or whatever, it won't disturb me or not. It was straight away, very strange. It will go to the place where I supposed to discharge it. I will feel like I have to go to the toilet. Then when I there, I will just like, that's very moment like diarrhea, but it's not really the full diarrhea one. It's just that the initial discharge is really like diarrhea, that one. It's something that shouldn't be in my body. Then when I clear that, I know already, I recovered already. Then I just wash myself, clean up, then I come out. And many times I recovered. And I find that the body become very different, no? It doesn't so easily like get into trouble like that one. Yeah. Then it know how to heal itself. It know how to like clear all this by itself. That's why the amazing part about cultivation is you will become different after you have the cultivation and the Dhamma. Your energy field become different. And especially for those who seriously know how to meditate and develop the ability to like develop the stability of the inner awareness. This inner awareness nature, the true mind, can actually help you. Help you to develop that type of energy which is very pure, very beautiful. And when you are able to locate the gateway, even more beautiful, all your yin yang energy melt inside and become pure energy. Then it start to activate and transform you, and you become very different. Then it's like you become like a perfect human being now at that time. Like no more problem, no more sickness, no more disease. Like a perfect human being now. We are at that year 1989. I went through that. Like I explained to you, like a car perfectly tuned, no? Like no noise or no, and everything so perfect. Then those years were beautiful. Until now, it's already 35 years old, already coming to almost fully 35. Because 35 years old, 1989, I was 35 years old, so now I'm coming to 70. So exactly 35 years. Oh, very good life. Then during that first 10 to 20 years, I recover very fast. Whatever I go through, like I feel that I need to rest, I rest, I recover. Then flu or whatever, I recover very fast. But as I age, I realize I need more time to rest my body. Then I need to really develop the understanding that the body is a body. It will go the way of nature. As you age, it will manifest that type of reality that the Buddha has described, like old age, sickness, and death. Then all the first noble truth, reality, all those things. But when you have the Dhamma, you realize you can accept all this reality without a problem. Then you can understand what you are going through. Even aging or something, you will not complain. But this is the reality. You will laugh at it, you will smile at it, you will accept the reality of what this is. Then even disease or whatever, but touch wood, so far so good, very blessed. Even at this age, coming to 70, still very good. My blood test, my whatever health test, still very good. Nothing. I like a normal person, although I take some medication, like cholesterol pill and all those things. Diabetic is under control. I also take some medication, but it's not affecting me, not disturbing me, and I can eat what I want. Of course, I have to understand that the body is still a body. But now, when I try to eat as I age, I cannot really eat like when I was young. Now, eat a bit, you feel you are full already, and like you don't want to really eat anymore. Like this morning, I think Sister Joy came and see me and requested me to go with her and my wife for breakfast. So we went. So we all, like as usual, each and every one of us, we thought, okay, like we order some food and we share. So I ordered two, my wife ordered two, and Joy's going to order three, Then we realized we ordered too much. But of course, we try to eat what we can eat. Then my wife top out something. Then the two thing I order, I cannot finish. I just leave it there. So the stomach or the body will understand one that it's not like normal already. Yeah. And this are reality of life and existence that living being will experience. But a lot of people who don't understand, they will complain, oh, no. Ayo, when I young, my appetite very good, oh, no. Food is very good, oh, no. And I can... then you hold on to that thought, you'll be in trouble already. Where for me, I just understand and I smile and laugh over it. Yeah, that is the reality. And you become sensitive. The whole body, you understand what is going on. There's some like things that I eat is wrong. I know I have to throw it out. I will throw it out. So all this, as you develop the cultivation and you go through life, you develop the understanding. So your this sharing is very good, man. Salute to you.
Oh, thank you, Brother Tim.
Yeah.
The Dharma is really amazing.
Yeah.
And can
and
be
wonderful.
Really, yeah, wonderful.
Mm.
And can really help a lot of people, like
yeah,
just that
yeah.
They don't know about it or even want to even listen to it. Because I don't know, some even when you want to talk about it, they don't want to listen.
Correct. Not easy. Well, most people not interested one. Until they get into trouble. Then they seek a solution. But not everybody when get into trouble become serious. They want answer. Then you teach them, they go through, they forget, they repeat. Then after that come again. I got a few of these kayavita who every time get into trouble they come and see. But after two or three times, I have to remind them. I say, you have to learn the teaching. You have to learn to meditate. Really. Otherwise, every time you got a problem, you only do what can help you like recover from it. Then after that, you go back to your old way of living life. You get into trouble again. That is not the way. What you want is some understanding that can free your mind from being entangled with all this. In the future, a lot of them get entangled because of karmic past, karmic consciousness. Then what happens is the karmic past and the karmic consciousness actually create the causes and conditions for them to develop all this panic attack, phobia, suffering, fear, misery. They become like suddenly not themselves, or no. And they feel very miserable. You know. Oh, they don't know what to do. You know. See doctor also cannot help. Everything doesn't work out. Until finally they call me. Then after they recover one time, then two times. Then the third time, kena someone. Finally the wife remember. Hey, you better go and see relative. Came again. At that time I tell him, I said, you have to learn already. You cannot continue like that already. Although you part of the karmita, you got some parami or what, but your life, you need to develop the understanding yourself. So start to develop the understanding of the cultivation. But those that are very serious are very different, like Alicia, they come, they listen, they understand, they go all out. In fact, a lot of the karmita that stay one is they understand one. Then they realize this is beautiful. This is something that is very, very like money cannot buy, priceless. And this understanding is very vital to live life, to understand. Like you understand. But you realize a lot of people around, especially our society, they cannot appreciate this until they get into trouble. And most of them won't be able to go into the detail of it. Cannot. So that's why to have the condition to receive the Dhamma and able to be born during the Buddha Sasana as a cultivator and encounter all these causes and conditions is a real blessing. It's something that cultivator of the way only can have. Otherwise, not easy. You see, of all those that come, only how many remain and seriously develop the understanding, very few. But although we say few, For our Kayamita group, we actually quite a number. It's no more handful or what. It's easily more than 40 that are serious and have the understanding. And of course, at various stages of cultivation. And this is very beautiful. Some of them, they told me, Matthew, although I don't attend your class, I listen. And in fact, a lot are listening. There are a lot, not in our Kayamita group one. They also has been listening. Well, we look at the subscribe and like and all those things. Our Kayamita is less than 200 now. Registered people and name. But the subscribe to listen now 700 over. No? Means a lot of them are not from our Kayamita group. Then from our website, Chin Hao got a survey. They helped me to create this website and the YouTube, all they got the statistics. It seems 100 and 40 over or 60 over country people are listening all over the world. Then, of course, the biggest group is the Malaysian one. A lot of the last one I received is 30 over 1,000 of people have. Not people, I think, the people who listen to the YouTube video. Then second largest is Singaporean, 7,000 over. At that time, that was about a few months back. Then I think US, Europe, Australia, and even other country, the numbers are like starting to have more and more. Then in between, a lot of people give very good compliment and comment. Sometimes Jin Hao send to me, but nowadays I don't want to reply because no point unless got condition. But I rejoice, I rejoice. Then sometimes I reply. Then there are some who wrote to me, and some through all this YouTube video and my publication and my sharing, they listen and they come to know me. Then our retreat also, the recording help a lot of people, and they really develop the benefits and understanding, and they have a lot of joy. So things are happening, so we will see all this manifesting. Well, like I said, this year is the 20th year my nature come out to teach and share this Dhamma, and this is also the year I fulfill all the requests from Maitreya, the message that requested my nature to share the true Dhamma with the world. So those things that I need to share, I already share. But from now onward, the teaching will become different again. It's mainly for the benefit of Kayamita, who has the interest, the understanding, and what they call passion. And all this will help you all, because that understanding, actually, you cannot find one. It's like very rare. It's very, very rare to come across this type of teaching, understanding, and causes and conditions to manifest this type of teaching. Like now, the Thursday class also very different. The Tuesday class also very different. Then Sunday class also, the way I explain, it has become different again because of causes and conditions. So all these are very, very exciting period. And our planet, our society also has transformed in a way for the better, towards the spiritual direction, where they have progressed too fast in the scientific understanding and area. And now to catch up, they need the spiritual understanding. So once the spiritual understanding come in, and the two group actually merge, And they realize it can translate into a very beautiful, complete whole to develop the whole movement and understanding of what reality is, what life and existence is, what creation is. Then the mystery and secret of life, our universe, all this we can understand. Then we can become the super consciousness, where our human race will become super being that have the technological and spiritual understanding of what it is. Then we will evolve. We will evolve until. That's why I say those that are still young, they was experience and get to go through the decades of beautiful understanding and progress for our universe. And not our universe, for our planet. Our Earth as a planet. And hopefully, looks like the consciousness, the totality of our planet's consciousness, they are moving in the right direction to spur off more and more spiritual understanding. And this will balance the technological understanding and transform us into a super race that has the not only technical understanding, but at the same time, the spiritual understanding, where the whole of the consciousness field leading all the way to the awareness nature and that so-called oneness nature, Buddha nature, or the true nature, whatever name people may call it. Then the whole understanding become one. And during that phase, the planet, our world, will be very unique and very beautiful. Okay, very good, Manya. You summarize another 5 minutes.
Radio, and I also noticed that whatever that Radio talk about the Dharma, you can always go back to the four circles.
Yeah, the four circle formation. Yeah, that is the ultimate Mahayana supreme vehicle teaching. Yeah, but from there everything comes.
Yeah, even like because as I mentioned earlier on the last Thursday, the 129, right?
Yeah. Unique code 129. Yes.
One thing time, right? Either your mind is in silent or is lost in thought.
Yeah, lost in thought. Yes.
And Brother Dale can even use that to apply to the four circle.
Yeah, formation to explain it. Either you are there at the pure awareness or you are lost in thought, heedless.
But earlier, many years ago, I couldn't see that.
Sure. At that time, your understanding not there yet. And now, after the retreat, the recent retreat also, you all have become very different. That's why I said the last few years, the Kayamita force has actually helped the Kayamita who has the interest and the determination or aditan to go this way, to progress very fast. And all these are very beautiful. Sadhu.
It's just that if only everyone, you know, give it a chance, listen attentively, understand, and do
most of them will continue and do. They already non-stop listening. And all this has helped a lot of people. That's why those who did the website help out in the transcript, coming out of the books, they are helping a lot of people.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, sadhu.
Non-stop fitness. Along this path.
Also, because of your affinity, the affinity with my nature, with the Triple Gem, with the Great Beings, And all these other causes and conditions for all this to happen, manifest. That's why it's so beautiful.
Thank you, Raj.
Okay, so let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So what Manjan shared today is something very beautiful, very useful. So hopefully you can give more faith to more Kayamitas. Then more and more of this will unfold and manifest as we continue with this way of sharing and training. That's why the Dhamma is very extensive and unending in its unfolding. Because, like I always say, wisdom is unending. It is a field that can be expanded, perfected, and become like very, very extensive in its possibility. To be cultivated, developed, and understood. And it's so beautiful that it's applicable to life. And it can transform life into a living reality. So if Dhamma cannot transform itself into a living reality, then that is not the living Dhamma. Where the living Dhamma is applicable to life, life itself is our greatest teacher, our greatest wealth or experience that we can receive. So Pocheng also have a very good message. He said, Sadhu, Sister Manjan, for your faith and confidence in her cultivation, rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thumbs up and clap. So let us now share merit, then transfer merit, then we end. Okay. Akka satta ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta wata ca amihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya Idang me nyati dang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati dang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati dang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Deo wasatu kalina sasa sampati hetu cha. Vito bawatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, now let us pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Also a message from Manyon and Chui Hun. Chui. He said Sadhu, Ratio, and Sister Manyon. Sadhu. Okay, we end.